Amen. Great singing, church. It's so good to hear brothers and sisters sing together in unity. I hope it's been a blessing to you, but I hope it's been a blessing and a joy to the Lord's ears to hear His people sing. Ushers, would you please make your way forward? As they come, I want to read a short part of Psalm 84. If you want to look in your Bible, it's in Psalm 84, verse number 10, gives us the perspective of the psalm writer as he's thinking about coming before the Lord and in His presence. And he writes, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You." What a perspective. That should be our perspective. There is no greater place to be than in the presence of the Lord, the presence of your God, to be in His courts, to be in His holy place and worship Him. Give thanks to Him. And I hope that's in your heart too. Let's pray though and dedicate our offering to Him. And I urge you, remember all of our missions projects, pray for them. It's in the bulletin, the missionary of the week to pray for. The back wall on our missions wall has our newest letters. Read and pray for our missionaries. Father, we lift up this offering to You and ask You to bless it, to use it. Lord, we also lift up our missionaries globally. We thank You, Father, for the privilege to support others so that they may go and take the name of Christ in other parts of the world where we are not. Be glorified today in all that we do, all that is said. Be glorified in our hearts. And we thank You, and we say together, amen. Okay. Matt, you better not. He's like, oh. Okay. We are going back to our study on the church, being the kind of church that God wants us to be. Appreciated last week, Brother Mark from Creation Ministries, and the break that we had there and the different focus. But it's time to get back. We're looking in particular in the last six verses in Acts chapter 2. And this is after the church, where 3,000 were added to them in one day after Peter's message of the gospel. And they were saved and they were baptized and added to the church. We saw the upper room where they were meeting, and we saw the flames that leaped upon them, or what appeared to be flames that leaped upon them. And then we saw the sound of the rushing mighty wind. We saw that everyone was amazed at the ability that was displayed by these as they spoke in languages that they had never themselves learned. It was like the reversal of the Tower of Babel and the confusion of languages. But now, in Christ, we are one people. They heard Peter preach the good news about Jesus and the resurrection, the convicting message, though, that it was you that put him on the cross. They were convicted by the Holy Spirit during the preaching, and they asked them, "What must we do?" And they accepted Peter's message about Jesus. They repented, and then they were baptized. Now, I want us to take a look at what the believers did. This new band of believers, the church had grown hugely, so quickly. What this church did and the incredible things that followed. Understand that this church was built on the things that pleased God. When Jesus said, "This is my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, I will build my church." This is what he had in mind. And it was their focus on these things of God and the kind of church that God had in mind, that Jesus had in mind, that made this place so attractive. Take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. And as you're doing that, let's stand together and let's read our text together. It's only a handful of verses, 42 to verse 47. Are you ready? Read with me. Let's read, comprehend, and listen. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. As we see this early church, Lord, help us to have a sense of not only joy and excitement over what you were doing with this early church, but also a joy and excitement of what you can do here. Because IBC is the church. We are your people. And Lord, I pray that you would renew in us this sense of awe that the early church had. Lord, if there's anybody here who is uncertain of their own salvation, their own relationship with you, Father, would you open that person's eyes that they may see the glorious truth, the glorious beauty of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a seat, please. Take a seat. This is a church that I would love to be a part of. What did they do? They mentioned four things in particular at the beginning. They devoted themselves to four things: the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayers. That's it. This was their devotion. This was their commitment. The words "continued steadfastly" that we read in verse 42 are translated in many scriptures, in many Bibles, translations, were devoted. But the Greek means to adhere with strength. It was a determined devotion. This wasn't a casual thing. It wasn't a casual commitment. There was no way that they were going to let go of this thing that they had. There was no way they were going to let it go, this thing that of the church and the fellowship that they had, the oneness they had. They were going to cling to it. They were devoted to this thing. Note, there's no mention in this passage of a growth strategy, a marketing strategy, or meetings on how they were going to get more to come. That wasn't it. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the fellowship that they had, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And the key word is devoted. What's the sad truth is that for many Christians all over the world, they feel that giving the Lord 1 hour a week of real commitment is a lot. This is supposed to be, the church is supposed to be the most important thing that we have in life. But for some, just about anything will stop them from being a part of it. I got a bit of a headache. By the way, my wife isn't here today. And something stopped her from coming. Oh, just pray. It's not a serious deal, but she fell off her bike yesterday, and she's very, very sore. I was a little concerned. I took her to the A&E last night to get her checked out thoroughly because of pains, but she's all good. But it's one of those things where she's all bruised up, including her eye cut and everything, and it's the kind of thing everywhere we go together, people give me the dirty looks. So I didn't want that in church this morning. She'll be okay, but yeah, just pray for her. So she stayed home, but some have developed this consumer mentality of church. What is the church going to offer me? I want to be entertained. I want to be wowed by the show. And so churches spend a fortune on, wowing people. That's not the mindset of this church that we see here, this kind of church that I would desire to be a part of. They changed the world with their simple devotion to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And God used this church to turn the world upside down. If we, IBC, has the same, if we are determined to have the same devotion to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer, then I believe that we have a high chance of experiencing what this church experienced. Let's take a look and break down these four things, though. Devoted to the teaching. Number one, they were devoted to the teaching. Who's teaching? Who's teaching? The apostles' teaching. It was their teaching. God selected these men that are the apostles, the 12. There was Judas, and he was replaced by Matthias, and later along came, out of due season, this one called Paul. And God called him in particular to be a special apostle. But it was their teaching. And listen, there's something that concerns me in some churches today that I see. There are many who place a big emphasis on personal experience or testimony or even, getting these special messages or words from the Lord on a continual basis as if this is something that they happen weekly. And to get a steady diet of this kind of thing, somehow, I believe, gives the impression, the image that the word itself, the apostles' doctrine, the word of God itself is not as exciting, it's not as relevant, it's not as interesting as getting one of these special things, a special dream, a special vision, a special new something from God, instead of getting into the boring, stale word of God. And it must not be that way. The early church were devoted to the apostles' doctrine. Should a disciple be devoted to the apostles' teaching? And I think the answer to that is obviously yes. Is it possible to be devoted if you are hardly ever in the Bible itself? Is it possible? No. Now let me ask you a personal question. Are you devoted to the apostles' teaching? Are you devoted to the Word of God? Now, we could do this on a scale of 1 to 5, but it's kind of like being pregnant. Either you are or you aren't. Either you're devoted to the Lord, to the apostles' teaching, or you're not. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Paul writes, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. It's the Word of God that is so powerful. It's the Word of God that God uses to draw people to Christ. The Holy Spirit does the conviction and the work in a person's heart, but He uses the Word of God in a way that I can't explain, but they go together like this. As Peter spoke the truth of what had taken place, as he spoke the gospel, the Spirit of God used those words to bring about conviction in the people to the point that they said, what must we do to be saved? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching because the teaching is the very words of God. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, look at that. It says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word from men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. When you hear the message, if that message is Bible-based and focused, that message coming from the Word of God, if it is the Word of God presented, receive it as God's very Word itself. Do you believe that? Do you believe what the Thessalonians did? That it wasn't just the Word of man, but this when you hear the message that comes from this word, that it is the very words of God, do you believe that in your heart? Do we believe that this book is the most powerful tool or weapon on the planet that can change a person? Listen. As long as IBC stands, we must and we will devote ourselves to God's Word, the Apostles' teaching. This book will challenge and convict us. This book will encourage and comfort us. This book will give us direction and instructions. It is this book that we must be fully devoted to. And as long as I am pastor, I intend to do my best to give the Word of God. Not my own ideas, not stand up here and tell you about my own dreams and visions that I had last night, but to say this is what God's Word says. This is what we need to hear, and we need to obey what God has given to us. Will you personally be more devoted to the apostles' teaching? What do you intend to do? What will you do about it to be more devoted to the apostles' teaching like this early church was? Well, first, I encourage you, be faithful to your church. Be faithful. Don't let things come up continually that keep you away. Things happen, we know that. My wife is a testimony to that fact. Things happen out of our control at times. But man, if at all possible, I want to be with my brothers and sisters, my church, so that we can come together and we are in the Word of God together. We are devoted to the apostles' teaching as a church. Start coming to Bible study. This morning was the first time that we began our Bible study, our Sunday school classes. My friends, that is an important time. And there are far fewer of you here for that. But this is a time when we get into the Word of God too, and we examine it closely. Be a part of life groups. Commit yourself daily to being in the Word personally. Get up and And start your day in God's Word. Be fully devoted to the apostles' teaching. That was the first one. What was the second one they were fully devoted to? The fellowship. The fellowship. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to each other. Understand that the early church knew that we are better together than individually. Now, I enjoy sports. I've grown to enjoy rugby. I enjoy watching the games. And one of the things about rugby is that no matter how good you are, you can't do it alone. You can be a great rugby player, but you need your team. Amen? That's the way it works. Not like tennis players. Tennis players are, you know, self-glorying kind of people. You know, Serena Williams, she just got beat recently, didn't she? In Australian Open. But yeah, tennis players, they can go out and, you know, they're the best and they can do it alone. But in rugby, in a team sport, you need your players. Who's the greatest New Zealand rugby player? I don't know. I guess that's debatable. Everybody knows Sonny Bill, right? He recently got signed up to what team? I forget the team, but he's not here anymore. So yeah, he's great. He's awesome, and yeah, he's getting paid the big bucks. But even Sonny Bill needs his team to shine, to win games. He's not going to do it on his own. My friends, we're a church. We got to have each other. The early church saw this. They were devoted to the fellowship. Are you trying to be all God wants you to be on your own? That's not how God wired us. Christianity isn't just a private thing, and I don't want to talk to anyone else about it. It's nobody else's business. It's just me and God. That's not the way God wired us. From the very beginning, we saw in Genesis 2:18. Now, this is talking about Adam and Eve and man and wife kind of thing, but it's the way God wired us. And God, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. He didn't make Adam and say, yeah, he's just fine by himself. He can take care of everything. He's going to be just fine. No, he made him to need others. He made him to need others. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. We support each other. And we lift each other up. You need your fellowship. You need your church. Don't take it for granted. In fact, be fully devoted to the fellowship. Throughout the New Testament, we see admonitions to this effect. Serve one another, Galatians 5 tells us. Romans 15, accept one another in the Lord. Colossians tells us to forgive one another. We're told to admonish one another, to bear one another's burdens, and the list goes on and on of one another. God intends for the church not to just be one of many things that you add into your life, but the very hub of your life. Your brothers and sisters being fully devoted. Do we see that full devotion in the early church? Yes. That passage in Acts 2 where we see them even to the point that they were selling things so that they were distributing to others in their fellowship who had great need. These were serious needs and difficulties at this time of history. But they were there to support one another and to meet the needs of each other. That's how devoted they were. What are you deciding to do to be more devoted to your fellowship? One simple thing I could encourage you with, I'll make it two. But one of them is be a part of our small group, a life group. This is a small group of the church that comes together to support each other, to pray for each other, to love each other, to celebrate with each other, to gather around the Word with each other, to admonish, encourage, and comfort, all these things of one another's. That's what a small group can do. And if you're not a part of that, you're really missing out on something. Yeah, you come to the bigger group, but you're missing out on that kind of connection that we need, that you need. That's one thing. Another thing that you can do to be more devoted to the fellowship is to be a part of the prayer on Wednesday. We're praying. We need you. Your fellowship needs you. Be a part of our prayer time together. What are you going to do? They were devoted to, what was the first one? The apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the fellowship. The third one? The breaking of bread. This, at the front, is the breaking of bread. That's the communion. Now, we get that the apostles' doctrine is important. Yes, doctrine is important. We get that fellowship is important. Yes, we need each other, and the Bible has lots to say about it. We get that prayer is important, and we got to understand prayer more. But the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, while we do it and it's important, sometimes we maybe ask, is it really that important? 1 Corinthians 11, and we read this every time we take the Lord's Supper, but verse 25 says, this cup, Jesus is saying to his disciples, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Taking the bread, breaking the bread, is a constant remembrance. It's a remembrance. What do we remember? We remember our Lord, how he lived, how he died. He died to set us free. He was our atonement sacrifice. He died in your stead, in your place. We remember what he said, what he taught us. We remember how he prayed and taught us to pray. And when the early church came together for this reminder, remembrance constantly, it was at that time a shared meal. They would come together and they would eat together. Now in the book of Corinthians, we see some of them were abusing this whole tradition. They were abusing it and it was causing problems. But the church at this time, they were coming together, they fellowshiped, they ate together. They shared a meal, and then they remembered. They remembered. As they gathered, they remembered the common bond that they had with each other. The impact that Jesus had on them personally. They remembered the fellowship of his suffering. They were committed to the Lord. They belonged to him. They were committed to the fellowship. But the breaking of bread together, they remembered this common bond. And many of them would suffer for their faith. As they're gathering around the table and sharing this and acknowledging that we share this common bond, they knew many were going to suffer for their faith. Many of them were going to die for their faith. But this was the bond that they had in Christ Jesus. And they were willing to lay down their lives if it meant that for the sake of Christ. Imagine the importance of sharing this with a small group that shared this kind of mission and this dedication to their faith. And so therefore, I would suggest if communion has become boring for us, if it just becomes something we do, just something to tag on, some weird thing that's what churches do, then maybe we've lost sight of the value of it. And that's our fault. Remember when Jesus instituted this, it was a time of intimate fellowship. And he was about to show them his love for them as he went to the cross for them. And so this was an intimate time with Jesus when they gathered around, and after the meal, he took the bread and he took the cup. Imagine if the church was made up of people with that kind of commitment that would literally be willing to go to the cross for one another, that are willing to lay down their lives for their brothers, for their sisters. But we gather, we share this common bond that we belong to Christ and what he did for us, and he laid down his life, and he says that we are to have this kind of a commitment to one another. Will you be more devoted to the taking of bread? In your heart, will you see your brothers and sisters here and say, like me, you were a foreigner, you were an alien, you were a stranger, but because of Christ, you have been brought in. You are now a citizen of heaven. You're a child of God like me. You're my brother, you're my sister, and I am committed to you, and I am committed to the Lord. I am part of the family of God. You are part of that family. Under Jesus, we are one. Are you willing to love the people in this room in that way, like Jesus loved you? Are you willing to love your brothers and sisters? As we share the communion, yes, it's a remembrance of Jesus and what he's done, but we must remember it's also shows our fellowship and commitment that we have to one another. As we take of this together in Christ, we are one. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to, and they were devoted to prayer. Understand, the church that we see in the book of Acts was devoted to prayer. They were in the upper room, they were praying, they were in prayer before the church was born and after God gave it birth. They prayed with such power in Acts chapter 4. And they were asking God for strength and boldness in the face of persecution that was there and that was coming. And they prayed so much in Acts 4, we see that the building was shaken where they were. We see Stephen, one of the deacons in the early church. He was quite an evangelist, and he was speaking and sharing the gospel to a group of hostile men. And as they picked up stones to stone him and silence him, his final words were a prayer to Jesus. We see in Acts 10, Cornelius, he prayed. Cornelius was a Roman, a Gentile. But he was praying, and we see that God heard. His prayers went up as a memorial. And God responded by sending Peter to him to tell him the gospel, to tell his family the gospel, these who were outside Israel, these who were Gentiles. But the gospel came to them. The Holy Spirit brought conviction, like just like it did to the others in Jerusalem. Paul and Silas in the prison, they were praying. Later in the night, the prison doors were flung open, and you know there was a prison revival thing happening there. The prisoners all heard what Paul and Silas were saying. Even the jailer came to faith, and the jailer's family. And this was all through prayer. The early church, in Acts, we read over and over that they prayed when they needed to make a decision, when they faced persecution. And they had to ensure that they stayed in tune with God. They wanted to be connected with God. So question is this: why do you think the early church was devoted to prayer? Let me share with you a verse from Hebrews chapter 4. In fact, as we bring this up, read it with me. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly before what? Whose throne? Whose throne? The throne of God. So what the writer is saying here is that prayer brings you to the very throne room of God. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. I mean, think about this. We have direct and open access to the Creator of the universe. Prayer is what connects us to God's power. What can prayer do then? Prayer can do anything because God can do anything. We see Moses prayed and the waters parted. Joshua prayed and the sun stood still for a day. David prayed and the giant fell. Esther prayed and her people were saved from annihilation. Daniel prayed, the mouths of the hungry, angry lions were stopped. Without prayer, they would fail to receive what God wanted to give them. James chapter 4, verse 2, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So there's the right heart, the right motivation, but he says you don't have because you're not asking. You're not taking it before the throne room of God. And you don't have. Understand, there are things that we may never have individually or as a church. Ways that God will never move through us. Giants that will never fall. Seas that will not part. Victories that will not be realized. Lost people that may not be found. Trials that will not be overcome, captives that will not be free, because we do not go before the throne and ask. You do not have because you do not ask. What will you do to be more devoted to your prayer life? Again, I encourage you to come this Wednesday. If a half a dozen are here, we're going to pray. We will pray. And I believe God will hear and honor that prayer. But I believe the more of us that are here, the more our prayers will be united in purpose and power as we are devoted to the fellowship. We join our hearts together and beseech the Lord to be the kind of church that God wants us to be. I believe devotion is important. Devoted to, first of all, what? The apostles' teaching. Devoted, secondly, the fellowship. Thirdly, the breaking of bread. And then fourthly, would you stand with me? Let's take a moment to examine ourselves before we take of the Lord's table here. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul does write, verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. again, I would say this is not just a matter of, are you good enough? No, but it is a matter of fellowship. And so the first thing is, do you have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ? Do you know that you belong to Him? Have you trusted that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? If you put your faith in Jesus Christ to be your atoning sacrifice, then you have fellowship with God. There are times in our Christian walk where we have allowed things, and oftentimes it's sin. We have allowed sin to creep into our life. And that affects our fellowship, not our salvation as believers, but our fellowship. And so this is a time to examine ourselves before we take of the table, before we break the bread. If there's anything in your life, in your heart, that you need to talk to the Lord about, this is that time to do it. If you want to pray with anybody, this is that time to do it. If you're not sure of your own salvation, my friends, I urge you to come and talk with somebody today and say, Pastor Ken, I need to trust Jesus today. Today is that day. Today is the day of salvation. I'll give you just a few moments, and then I'll lead us. And then I'll ask for some of the men of the church to come and prepare the table, please. Father, Lord, I pray that your people, the church here, would truly desire the kind of devotion that we read about in Acts 2. And may we, your people, be fully devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Lord, as we break this bread together, I pray that it wouldn't just be the same old routine, but that we would have a renewed sense of awe, a great sense of awe, as we remember you and your sacrifice and what you have done for us, but as we also see our brothers and sisters who also partake of the bread, and we stand in awe that you have made us, you have bonded us together in faith, as a family of God, as one in Christ. And we share this common faith. We share a common mission. And whatever may face us this year, the coming years, Lord, we are going to be devoted to you, devoted to one another, the fellowship. Thank you for this time that we break bread together. In Jesus' name. Would you please take a seat? And could I please have some men come and prepare the table? And as they do, I will draw our attention once again to the words of Paul as he writes and instructs the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread." And so as we do this, do it with a renewed sense of awe of what God has done, of what Jesus accomplished, his atoning death for us, and his uniting us together in fellowship as a body. Outside sections, I invite you to stand and come and receive the bread and the cup and return to your seats, and we'll take it together as one. Inside section, as soon as it's freed up, inside section, you may go and receive the elements and return to your seats. Thank you. Thank you. As we hold this bread in our hands to remind us of our Lord, of his body that he took upon himself, I also encourage you to look at the people around this room. I know our relationship with the Lord is a personal thing, and each one must come to faith. But our faith is shared with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And in taking of the table together, we are reminded of this shared commitment. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So, Lord, we now take the body, the bread, to remind us of that body. You came, took on a body, so that you can die on our behalf. We thank you for that body. In Jesus' name. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So, Lord, as we read this, we're reminded that you are coming again. You promised. And so we anticipate and we look forward to the arrival of our Lord and Savior. But until that time, we continue to obey, to do what you've commanded. We remember your death until you come. We thank you for this blood that was shed for us, the blood that washes away our sins as white as snow. In Jesus' name. And as the ushers are collecting up the cups, please just direct your attention to the front for a few announcements from Pastor Mike. Thank you.
Thank you for the message this morning, the message on the church. You're a special people, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be a part of one another's lives in the way that the Lord has brought us all together. So thank you for that. Just a few quick announcements we'd like to share with you before we're dismissed. Our weekly prayer meeting, as Pastor Ken mentioned just a moment ago, Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the 12th of February, that starts at 7 o'clock. So we would like to ask as many of you as possibly can to be here with us. And we're going to commit this time, this hour's time, to prayer, praying for the lost, praying for our community and our country, and certainly our church as well. So if you can commit that, this is going to be through this first term, which means that for some Wednesday life groups, that may be a bit of a conflict there. But we'd like you to dedicate your time to this prayer time. And if you can still meet in your life groups at another time, that would be fine as well. New members class coming up next Sunday, the 16th of February. That's going to be during the 9 o'clock Sunday school time. So if you've been a part of the church for some time, but you're not a part of the voting membership of the church, we'd like you to come along to this class, and it will give you some of the responsibility and some of the things that we want you to know about International Baptist Church. Also, we have a youth kickoff rally coming up. That's on the 21st of February. That's on a Friday night. Nacho Average Taco Party. Did you write that, Josh? Did you write that? Okay. We get it. Mexican word of the day. Okay, Nacho Average Taco Party next Friday, 2 weeks on 21st of February at 7 o'clock. This is for the teen group from years 7 to 13, school year 7 to 13. So if you have any questions about that or any comments about the title, the joke, see Josh and Denise about that. IBC Kids Club, looking for help in administration areas. So if this is something that the Lord has put upon your heart and you'd like to be a part of the kids club, helping out with some of the management and some of the administrative work, then see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer, about that. Well, she's not here today, but let her know through the week and through next week if you're interested in being a part of that. Life group meetings, most life groups have started back this month. So if you're a part of the life group, we'd like for you to continue on with that. If you're not a part of the life group, we have a life group, I'm sure, that would be right in where you are in your area of life. And if you have any questions about that, see Renee. Renee was up here serving as well. He's right. Where is Renee? Oh, he's in the back. He's over here. Just see Renee, and he will make sure that you can get plugged into any of the life groups. And that's an important part of who we are as a church, meeting in small groups, praying for one another, and just sharing life together. Also, our Bible Training Center for Pastors, or our Bible Training Center, as we have been doing for the last several years, we're going to be commencing that next term, term number two, book number seven, Church Ministry and Administration and Education. So if you're up to book, if you're up to this part, book number seven, then we'd like for you to continue on. If you haven't taken any of the previous classes, still come and see us, and we can see if we can fit in to where you would be into this class as well. And that starts back in term number two. Our missionaries we're praying for, Joshua Garakapati. This is our missionary in India. Continue to pray for him and the ministry work that is going on there. Also, our other missionaries, we've put the letters in the back so you can be a part of what's happening with their ministries. Before we're dismissed, maybe you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary, and we would like to know that and celebrate that with you. Anyone with a birthday that's coming up in this next week, coming up this week, anyone with a birthday? Anyone? We would like for you to come up. We have something for you, chocolate. No? No birthdays. How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary this week? Oh, no birthdays or anniversaries. And we even have both groups here together and still none. Are you sure? I know somebody's probably lying. No, I don't know that. All right, well, Pastor Ken, nobody's claiming birthday or anniversary this week. So Pastor Ken's going to come. Closing prayer time for us. God bless you all. I hope you all have a good week.
Let's stand together. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Be sure to greet each other and have a great week. You are the church. As you leave this place, as you go to work, as you go to school, be the church. Thank you, Lord, for your words to us today. May we be a devoted people. May we be devoted, like the early church, to the apostles' doctrine, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. Be with us as we leave this place. May we be ambassadors for Christ wherever we are. May we live for you, for your glory, your cause, your kingdom. In Jesus' name, and we say, amen. 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 God bless you. You're dismissed.